I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
This week on Below Deck Mediterranean, Chef Tom and Captain Sandy clashed in the galley over Tom's response to provisions, leaving Malia stressed and stuck in the middle.
On this latest installment of BravoTV.com's exclusive Below Deck Med After Show, Malia addressed Tom's freezer meltdown, calling his communication dynamic with Sandy a recipe for disaster.
Sandy also acknowledged the massive amount of responsibility on Malia's shoulders, adding that she and Tom don't have an issue. Tom has an issue, while Tom explained that Sandy got involved too early in the provisions mix-up, which led to further misunderstandings.
Plus, was Rob really flirting with a charter guest, or is Jess just jealous?
Both might be true.
And remember, some of the voices you'll hear beyond the crew members are Below Deck Med executive producer Nadine Rajabi and our very own podcast guest, Josh Brown, VP of Bravo's current production.
AKA the people who know all the secrets.
Let's take a listen.
Throughout the season, we definitely see Tom and Sandy clash quite a bit.
You guys have no idea. Him and Captain Sandy, I was like, oh no, one of them is going to murder the other one.
The client wants some cucumbers.
Jesus Christ.
Please, yeah. It's f***ing burnt, all right?
Yeah, and his.
Don't try and humor me at the moment.
Come on. There's some stuff in the fridge.
Brilliant.
But
fridge,
until we find out,
we're going. Fresh.
Really?
I don't know because I haven't had the time to
you
check.
You just said there's f***ing frozen halibut in the freezer. Did you not?
No, I did not say that. I said
all right,
we're having...
All right, I'm walking away now. Let's meet in the main salon. I'm not going to f***ing do this. I'm not going to take his... I'm not.
And we also see you in between the two of them, kind of navigating these relationships in your life.
Oh, there were moments, trust me.
Is there no other f***ing adult on board that can slice a piece of f***ing cucumber?
Sorry,
that joke.
But he needs help putting this provisions away.
No, stay out of the galley. Anybody but you.
He's gonna walk off the boat.
Well, let him walk.
You are my side.
I am. Come here. Come, Thomas.
I can't do it. A crouton isn't bread. I've got nothing left for the crew lunch. Everything is f***ed. I can't prepare the guest lunch because there's no fish on board for it. This is my f***ing reputation.
Come to me.
Of course not.
There's one moment where Tom's like in the big walk-in freezer and he's having like a full meltdown. And I like walk in and I don't think there's like any cameras and I'm like, Tom, you need to lock it up and get out there.
Trying to put the f***ing provisions away.
Just say, look, I'm not happy with the quality of stuff I got.
It's like giving you one bottle of f***ing washing up liquid to clean the boat and then saying, oh, it's a bit dirty.
You need to go to Captain Sandy and
I'm
just
not,
say,
I'm not dealing
no,
with
listen.
It.
Say to her, Captain Sandy, the provisions that I just got are shit and put it on her. You got shit provisions. Let us help.
And then I look up and like, there's a GoPro and I was like, shit.
You know, when Tom comes on board, I felt like Malia took on the responsibility to make sure Tom was going to be okay. And is it fair to Malia? No. Is it normal? Yes. And there's a point where she's speaking for Tom all the time.
We're having a problem with provisions again.
Why isn't Tom coming to me?
He is. He just...
Have Tom come to me, not through you.
She did that because I think she felt responsible that he was on board because I needed a chef. She comes in my office and she said, you and Tom have an issue. And I go, no, Sandy and Tom don't have an issue. Tom has an issue.
You are my pride and joy. I'm going to start there. He's your boyfriend. So you have that extra level of caring. So if Tom decides to walk off the boat because the provisions or whatever aren't right, I would hope that you would stay.
As much as I respect the industry and my position, I also have to respect the side of me that that's my partner in life, not just my partner in the industry.
I don't want you to crash and burn because Tom's having a problem with the captain.
And I go, why isn't he coming to me? You stop coming to me for Tom.
I want to be clear for the rest of this charter, do not help Tom. He needs to come to his captain. That's it.
Copy.
Okay, I think you're doing great. I don't want this to come between us.
Let's knock this out.
Malia was losing focus. Malia was getting too involved, trying to save Tom. I needed her to stay out of the galley. We're on our last charter and just focus on your job. Tom can handle this. And when service comes, then she can help with service. But, you know, in the galley all day, I need you on deck.
Obviously, he's my boyfriend. I'm never going to not worry about how he's doing in the galley, you know? So that's another thing that stresses me out throughout the day. I also think knowing the personalities, I was definitely worried because Tom, you know, I think every chef has their moments. And I think, you know, working in the galley is extremely stressful. So knowing that Captain Sandy likes to hover around the galley quite a bit and knowing that Tom is not cool with that, I was like, oh no, this is like a recipe for disaster.
I never hired couples because it's always been a disaster for me, because when one's affected, the other one's affected. They're both affected. So you're losing essentially two crew emotionally. And I needed her head in the game. I saw Malia struggle, but she still did her job. But imagine the emotional strain on her.
No good?
Not really.
Me either.
It seems like absolute shit that you're here, because it's my fault for sure.
It's not your fault.
It is my fault. Like, she just gave me a talking to about me being in the galley, and I'm like, I'm the f***ing bosun. If there's a problem, I get involved.
She is such a team player. But I think the amount of responsibility that was on that girl's shoulders was massive. And she did it to herself. But she did it because she cares. So when you care that much, and that's what I love about Malia, she cares. It's hard to put that fine line in. She feels responsible on both ends. She doesn't want to disappoint me. She doesn't want to disappoint him. And the only person she's hurting is her. It's like you got to stay focused. And I can't imagine what it was like for her. I can only imagine. So I don't know. All I know is I deem a bosun on deck.
During the last charter, you were delivered fish that is too warm.
This needs to come in a refrigerated van. It's just arrived and it's 12 Celsius. Anything over 5, you refuse.
And then the replacement comes and it is frozen.
That's right.
I've just put the frozen stuff in the fridge.
Brilliant.
But right, until we find out, we've got
fresh.
Really?
You gotta
talk to me. It's frozen.
I tried to speak to you about it, and you were just calling BWA. Now we're stuck with frozen fish. I think that was like more miscommunication. I think that in that instance, I think that Sandy maybe got involved a little bit too early because I had no idea what was going on with it. She called the provisioner who she thought had delivered the fish. It was the wrong person. I had sent it back, and as far as I was aware, they were going to bring the right fish.
Tom needs to come to me and ask for support. You know what I mean? So that direct line of communication is always open to me, and I will do whatever it takes to help him. Whatever it takes. But I need to know specifics on how I can help him, because I'm not a chef, so I don't know.
I called BWA. She was going to bring you fresh halibut, so she did not bring it? That's all I need to know. Did BWA bring you fresh halibut? Is that a yes or a no? It's a no?
Sandy. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't have the answers for Sandy when she asked me what the deal was with the halibut or whatever fish was. And I think that that kind of came across as like me being awkward.
Maybe just have a little patience with me.
I have no idea what's going on. You're not talking to me.
Don't say yes or no. Don't do that to me.
It's a yes or no.
It's a don't know. It's I don't know because I haven't had the time to check.
You just said there's f***ing frozen halibut in the freezer. Did you not?
No, I did not say that. I said,
all right, I'm walking away now. Let's meet the main salon. I'm not going to f***ing do this. I'm not going to take his, I'm not.
You know, last charter of the season, you want to kill it. Fish comes in too warm. You don't want to make anyone sick. It's not easy. So how Tom handled it, I think he handled it like any other chef would. That's on their last charter. Exhausted. And then when your captain comes in and says, how can I help? And makes a phone call and that doesn't really help you. And yeah, he's going to spiral and lose his mind because, again, he's exhausted. He's lost reasoning. Now, I don't know how to have the food conversations. That's him. And if he doesn't get the response he wants, then he needs to share that with me. Otherwise, I can't help him. What I would do at that point, if he's not getting what he wants, then I would try to figure out what can we do instead.
I know that right now we're challenged with provisions. What makes us stand out is what we do with what we're given. It is not going to be perfect. It is how we finesse it, is our attitude towards it. I want every one of you, Tom, every one of you to feel supported by your captain. Like, I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to take you down, because I'm not. But I certainly won't be spoken to like that ever again.
It's not about the fish. It is about finishing together. I want to finish our last charter, but we can do this. It's like, no matter how tough it gets, we have to remember what's important. Of course, we want to please the clients, but we have to work with what we have.
Every day on charter pickup day, it's just magic happens. You go from like being not prepared at all to suddenly, you know, guest ready, and you never have enough time to accomplish everything you want to accomplish. You know, things happen, and like Captain Sandy's saying, you do have to roll with the punches, but sometimes it's tough, especially the difference between like a chef and deck or interior is, you know, if we get the wrong part or something, we can kind of delay. There's other distractions, there's other toys, or we can kind of make our own, you know, MacGyver something. That's a lot harder to do in the galley. If they want salmon, they want salmon. If you don't have salmon, you can't just be like, well, here's chicken. Like, you know, it's there's less smoke and mirrors in the galley than there are in other departments. So
yeah, that's more stressful.
There's a moment where Malia names Alex the lead deckhand.
You know, we had this whole thing with the lead deckhand, and we all kind of squashed having a lead deckhand, but I'm going to name a lead deckhand for this last trip. Rob, you've been the most consistent, and that's been amazing. And Alex, brings me to you. I never thought I would say this. You're a lead deckhand. Hey. You have it, and you've shown it. The crew respects you. The crew comes to you when they need a laugh, and I can certainly come to you when I need something done. You've done amazing.
That. You know, every bosun or every leader, every captain is, or chief stewardess is going to promote people for different reasons. But for me, Alex is someone who works really well with me on deck. He, you know, never combated me. If he wanted to bring a different angle up with me or something, he did it politely. He always listened to what I told him to do. And in general, he just was very respectful and a good crew member. And that to me is far more important than, you know, someone who knows how to tie every knot in the book. If you are great with guests and you do well listening to the hierarchy, then, you know, you are so much more valuable to me.
Alex, I just have to smile because I think he's a great deckhand. He knows. He's very supportive. He never complained. He was always on it. He was always willing. That's what you want, willingness. Assistance, not resistance. That's key. And he was always assistant.
I'm obviously the loud one of the group, and I'm always saying things. But, like, you know, when I'm, you know, put in the center of attention, like that type of, like, moment when, like, Malia's, like, I thought you kind of stood out and, you know, you were the guy. It, you know, makes me a little uncomfortable because, like, I have Rob, who's also just as good or better worker than I am. It's like, you know, I appreciate that, and I'm honored for her to say that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I didn't want to be that guy. I just want to be everyone's friend and, you know, everyone's, like, kind of shoulder or whatever to talk to. So like, if you say that to me one-on-one, that's cool. In front of, you know, Rob, it makes me a little uncomfortable because I don't want them to think whatever. You know what I mean?
I definitely didn't think that at all.
No, I know, but that's just how I am.
You know, Alex reminds me of Max a lot. Like, you know, maybe not the most confident in like a lot of his deck skills, but he's not afraid to say like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. He doesn't have an ego. He's not cocky. So yeah, to me, he really proved himself and he stepped up. And I felt, even though it was the last charter, I felt like it was me saying, hey, I really appreciate you for being this person to me.
You guys have been an amazing deck team to have. So thank you.
We're lucky, honestly, to have you as work aside, just a friend. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
I think not work-wise, I think I was just like maybe that guy in the personal life that maybe someone needed. So I think maybe she saw that, and it was a good moment to be recognized for sure.
Alex, you're a stand-up guy. You were there in the moments that it, like, were pretty prolific throughout the season, regardless. You always had a plan. You always were on the ball. Like, you showed up, and I think that was, like, the best thing for you as well. Like, I thought that was a really good decision on Malia's behalf to do that, and, like, I was pretty stoked that you got given that opportunity.
I appreciate that, man.
Malia was asked about who would be a better lead deckhand when she was on Watch What Happens Live with Rob a couple of weeks ago.
I called her out for that too, so I'm going to throw her under.
For experience sake, it'd be Rob. Yeah. And I think for entertainment sake, Alex.
I was laughing. Like, I was like, oh, lead deckhand. I wonder what happens at the end. And she's like, starts laughing. She goes, I'm not going to lie. She goes, I got so awkward and I froze up and, like, I was on with Rob. I said that. So, I'm throwing Malia under the bus right now. And you can, yeah.
I don't want it anyway.
And you're like, I'll stay in my lane.
Yeah, I'm going to beat on my own drum. It's all good.
So one of the guests gets stung by a jellyfish. Huh. And Jess, you kind of catch Rob maybe being a little flirty.
Oh, it must be Hannah.
Yeah, I've got some vinegar for you. I don't know why speaking to you making nervous. I don't know why. You seem very, like, observant. Does it feel better?
No.
Ooh. Does that feel good, my touch?
I just doing what I was supposed to do as I'm trained to do as a deckhand. And, you know, we do our medical training and there's everything around for us to, you know, as much as we can do, help aid in preventing things like that, and also, you know, helping them. Fucking oath, Alex, now you're making me, the way you look, you're making me glitch, bro. I guess the way I applied the cream made Alex think it was a very sensitive
thing. No, you make me feel type of way. Maybe someone else felt a different type of way. I don't know.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
You seem very, like, observant and mindful.
I like to be.
And I'm not used to being seen.
Like, are you kidding me? Whatever.
I just remember knowing that I know he was really into her, this particular guest, and him flirted a lot to an extremely uncomfortable. Yeah.
So why do you guys get all dressed up when you guys barely see us?
Just to make sure that when you see us, we look good.
How'd you get into yachting?
I was in modeling, and then a year ago, I made a decision to be like, I'm done. It didn't really end.
You still would do it, right?
So it keeps
on happening.
Yeah, it's like...
People keep on wanting to take pictures of me.
I can't help it.
I'm on a yacht, and then these seven girls are just like, take a picture with us.
But I feel like that case fitted with a lot of people.
We've got tomatoes and figs and fennel for lunch.
I'm so excited. This looks so good.
Good.
We're looking forward to it.
Would anyone else like to go down the slide before we pack it away, or all set?
Thank you.
Perfect.
No, that's Alex.
Your Alex is a hot one.
She flirted with everybody, but he definitely ate it up.
Oh, yeah, will you right come sit in the middle?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right. Oh,
okay. Oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
All right.
Amazing. Gorgeous.
Thank you.
I remember him even coming in at one point and was like, oh, you would really like her. You should have a great conversation. She's such a spiritual, deep person, and this, that, and the third. And I remember being like, okay. And then I did try to talk to her at one point, and she just completely would not, like, it was just like, wasn't much interaction there. So I was like, oh, okay. All right. I see you. Cool.
Hannah was a very flirtatious person. And like, I'm a friendly person. And, you know, we spoke of a language of like energy and that kind of stuff as well. Like, I just seemed to have that ability to talk to people. But I was just doing my job. I was putting on some ointment so it didn't carry on itching and cause a problem.
A group of women comes on board for the last charter.
Some of the women were really cool on there, actually. A few of them were really, really sweet.
The master cabin in here.
This is amazing! I could live in this room.
So I have lobster tails with orange and fennel.
This is, like, so good.
Oh, Tom, it's excellent.
They were very sweet, but it did seem like there was a little bit of drama in the group.
Oh, I feel like they're so stuck up. That's cool.
We're gonna come right back up, right?
I just needed to get away. The conversation is not flowing. It's funny, we definitely don't vibe.
Don't forget the red wine.
I'm bringing it for you right now.
Stat, I need it like an IV right now.
I remember that night, I was like, what are they fighting about? Because I actually missed it. Like, I was watching it and I'm, you know, going back and, you know, we're in post watching it. It was just like, there was this random tension that was going on. And I think what it was is because they all knew each other in like through friends. So like, you know, one friend was like the connecting friend. So it's like, when you kind of bring a group of friends together, it's kind of it's Russian roulette with that stuff. You don't have to go.
You get all your friends out here and then the booze starts flowing. Been on charters where people have left because of disagreements.
It's nearly always alcohol fueled.
Space, clearly.
What is your problem?
Shut up, because your voice is f***ing annoying.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hopefully it provides a little bit of entertainment for you guys as you're working so hard.
It does.
And we've seen a lot of guest fights on the series, you know, years between. I mean, we've seen the Damons with the Spanx fight this past season. Last season was with the random charter guests. I mean, we've really seen it all. Like, we've seen people upset about a threesome and a hot tub and things like that. So it's always really interesting about what they're fighting about.
Enough already.
Really, Stephanie?
No, I can't. No, I'm not going to do this.
You yelled at me.
Wow. Sandy sat there and you said I interrupted you. I did not let you say what I wanted to say.
Gosh, Sandy, drama.
I am causing a thing. I ain't causing anything.
We've seen guests fight about a tip.
I can leave them a $10,000 tip.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's the kind of shit that makes my stomach turn.
You're talking about a couple hundred dollars.
Well, I'll think about it.
Well, you know the best thing about it. Hey, no, wait. I got a solution for you, too. Come here.
No, I got it.
Yoda,
where are you going, Yoda?
It's not all of that.
There's only so many things you can hear when you're shooting the show. So it's not until sometimes you go back and you're in post-production and you're listening to some of the conversations. You're like, how did I miss that? Oh my gosh. Like, it's like sometimes you just have no idea. And it's like, you know, those are the most shocking moments. Or like, I remember with Mila licking the stick.
What, she licks it?
She licks
off, does she?
She had a little.
I thought she smelt it.
Little.
I didn't know that existed until we were in post-production. So it's those shocking moments, and I know that's not about guests, but that you're always discovering. But there's a lot of things that with the guests that you're like, oh gosh, I actually thought they were a lovely group, but they're just talking trash the whole time.
They're so stuck up.
Knowing who the charter guests are going to be when they come on, you know, we all take guesses as to what they're going to be like, and we really have no idea. I mean, I think that's what makes unscripted TV so fascinating, because you can't make this stuff up and you really can't guess what's going to happen.
True.
Through several provisioning hiccups this season, we have definitely seen you shoulder a lot of Tom's stress and help find a solution.
Tom, I just got a message from the provisioner.
Yeah.
They said that you requested 2 kilograms and that was what was delivered.
This is all the fish that came on just now.
Yeah.
1 kilo. So she's saying the provider has definitely given us 2.
Mussels?
Mussels.
Okay.
He's without charge. We apologize to Tom. I'm so sorry for that.
I'll let him know.
This is the oysters, the halibut, and the scallops.
And it's all frozen.
Except for the oysters.
Except for the oysters? If we are able to get some fresh on, we'll probably send the frozen stuff back, just to let you know.
Just making sure that he's got all the stuff he needs.
Why did you take on this responsibility?
I just remember the tension was really high. And it's not really the type of environment I kind of wanted to go into the charter with. People were stressed, and Tom, like, you know, he was pretty mad about it all.
Malia?
Yeah?
Can you just come here for a second? Look, that's the halibut for dinner. Rock hard. There's the scallops.
What the f*** is this?
Malia, I've only just found this out. I'm only just starting to put the f***ing provisions away.
I remember being very stressed for Tom, because at the end of the day, it's the chef's like food, and his stress is like a lot of it's going to fall on me. So automatically, I take on his stress.
Calm down for 1 second and listen to me.
I think Tom's going to have a meltdown soon.
Yeah.
Trying to find out about this provisioner.
You know, I believe in teamwork, but we were pre-charter. So what I need is my chief stew focused on her position.
What do you need? I'm just trying to sort out this provision for Tom.
Do not get on Tom's wagon. You got to rise above that.
What do you mean get on
his
wagon?
I don't give a shit. No one's, you got to come to me. Look.
Yes, I know. I'm just trying to help the situation.
I need Buzzy to stay focused on her job, because she has an interior run and she has a charter starting. At this point, I need all my department heads focused on their particular jobs. During charter, when you're all set and ready, then you support each other, but you don't forego your responsibility to bail someone out. That's when you come to me.
Just breathe, please. You are calm. You can shoulder this. Tom's energy is rubbed off on you. Instead of improvising, he has put all his on everybody else. He has provisions, Bugsy. He can cook.
It affects me. If he's stressed, it's going to create a like worse working environment for me. The food that we're taking out to serve the guests, like the feedback we get, I'm like the go-between. I didn't want Tom to be on the back foot, which was then obviously going to put us on the back foot, which we really didn't need. We were doing so well.
Bugsy's obviously just trying to do, you know, the right thing and try and help, but it kind of confused the match a little bit more, but not intentionally, obviously.
Yeah. It's just one of those things.
As many of you know, there is a major election this year.
And this year, it's not election day, it's voting season.
Coronavirus restrictions and other complications are causing many people to change their voting plans this election. Have you come up with a plan to make sure your vote counts?
Go to nbcnews.com/planyourvote to check out your state's voting rules and plan your vote with a state-by-state guide. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.